Daniel chapter number 3. When you found your place, I'll ask you to stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. Daniel chapter number 3. And you all know this scripture, very familiar. God showed me something early this morning out of this scripture before I went to work. And I want to try to mind the Lord tonight. Daniel chapter number 3. So I'll stand to our feet if we're physically able tonight. If you found your place in Daniel chapter number 3. Might I say to you tonight, this is an interesting message. Never preached this, never had this thought. And so you pray for us tonight that we'd be obedient to God. But I want to read one verse tonight out of Daniel chapter number 3. Verse number 25, the Bible said, "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Now let me go ahead and just jump on down real quickly. In verse number 26, Nebuchadnezzar commands Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come forth from the furnace. But I want you to notice something tonight out of this scripture. There was four men in the fire, but three came out. Think on that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this service tonight. Lord, we thank you for those kids that rode the bus tonight. They've been an encouragement to me. And God, I realize tonight, Father, I need to be more excited about this church. God, I realize tonight I need to have more power than I've ever had before. But God, I can't do that unless I have you. And God, I pray tonight for this message. And God, I pray that you touch hearts. And God, I realize tonight that you walk with us every day. And God, we fail you every day. But Lord, I'm trusting for just a little while you'll hide me behind the old rugged cross. Lord, that you'd use this vessel of clay tonight to preach like you've never preached before. And God, I pray tonight that we as adults, God, may realize tonight this may be our last opportunity to be in thy house. And Lord, we'd worship you and praise you with our whole being tonight. God, I thank you for saving me. And God, I pray that you'd protect this your preacher, God, just for a little while tonight. And I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Leading up to this scripture, you'll see Nebuchadnezzar had made a god out of gold, or an image out of gold, and he had sent out a decree through the land that when the cornet or the flute, the psaltery or the harp had played, that everybody was supposed to fall down and worship this being. Might I say to you tonight, I think we've got behind on falling down and worshiping our God tonight. He would blow this cornet so that all the area would fall down and worship this image of God. And the Chaldeans had seen some of the Jews, and Nebuchadnezzar came to the Jews, and he seen Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, look boys, he said, I'm going to tell you right now, when you hear that sound, he said, I want you to fall on your face, and I want you to worship God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego might as well just say, no, we're not going to do that. In verse number 16, they say, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve. Might I say to you tonight, it's not just a question if he can. It's not just a possibility, but might I say to you tonight, he's going to be faithful to his children. He's going to be with us through the midst of the fire and through the rain and through the storm and through the night. It's not a question if he's able. Might I tell you tonight, he's more than able. He's more than a conqueror, and he will do that which is good to his children. But they said, Nebuchadnezzar, the God we serve, if he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. But they say this just in case. They say, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Might I say to you tonight, they had some courage, and they had some boldness about them, and they had some spunk in them tonight that we as Christians ought to have in our life. They had something burning within them. Might I say to you, they didn't get relaxed on a pew. They didn't get set in their place, but they had something in them that says, you know what? He's a God worth fighting for. He's a God worth worshiping tonight. He's a God worth standing for. He's a God worth singing for. And he's a God worth serving tonight. Might I ask you tonight, is he your God? Is he worth your serving tonight? Is he worth your singing? Is he worth your standing? And is he worth your shouting tonight? Because I'm going to tell you, if we don't, my friend, that rock down there, sure. sure will. And it'll be a sad day, Brother Ryan, when the rock has to praise God because his children and his people won't do it. Notice what happens. And verse number 19, Nebuchadnezzar gets upset. He says, I tell you what. He said, go ahead and help, heat the furnace seven times more than it's made for or won't for, more than it's capable of holding. It got so hot, the men that was stoking the fire, Brother Junior, when they got near it and threw it in, it would slay them. And he brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with their hats on and their clothes there, and he had them through in the fiery furnace. Might I say to you tonight, a world standard and our standard would say they would have burnt up. There wouldn't be no help for them tonight. There wouldn't be no possibility that before Brother Ryan, they ever got to the center of the fire, the whole thing would be over. They'd be dead. They'd be out of Nebuchadnezzar's head. They'd be out of his way. They wouldn't be afflicted anymore. Can I just share this with you tonight? As we may go through persecution, and we may go through troubles and trials, but God will always have a remnant of his children that'll worship him. It don't matter if the world's turned against you. It may be two or three, but praise God, with two or three, he's there in the midst. Aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God that ain't based off of numbers, and it ain't based off of righteousness, and it ain't based off of economic standing, but we serve a God that wants to be with those that are pure in heart tonight, that want to worship him and want to adore him and want to lift their voices up. Might I say to you tonight, it's alright in the house of God to say, God, you sure are good. It's alright in the house of God to say, Lord, I love you every now and then. It's all right to do those things. And might lift our hands up and say, God, you've been good to me and my family. It's good to do those things. But might I say to you tonight, not only in his house where we ought to do it, we ought to do it every day, every step, every breath, and say, God, I'll live this breath for you. I'll live this walk for you. And I'll live this talk for you because, God, you've given me everything. But notice tonight, in verse number 25, Nebuchadnezzar hears his men say, did we not cast three? Did we not cast three? He says, but I see four.
Amen.
I see four. And you know what? Nebuchadnezzar didn't even really believe in God. Nor had he ever seen the face. Might I say to you, up to this point in time, Moses is the only one that's seen the hinder parts of God, and it changed his whole expression. Can I just share something with you tonight? If you'll just see God, maybe just a little part of him, it'll change your expression, it'll change your outlook, it'll change your thought process, it'll change your standing in the church. You might just get a little bit happier than what you've ever been. And verse number 26, Nebuchadnezzar's mind was boggled. He had changed because he had seen something he had never seen before. Might I say to you now, if you're looking for him, you sure will find him.
Amen.
Notice in verse number 25 or 26, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. In the end of that verse, then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Now, if my mind reads me right, there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Son of God in the fire.
Amen.
But in verse number 26, if I count right, that tells me there are four beings in that fire. But if I count right, Brother Ryan, at the end of verse number 26, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego comes out of the fire. That means there's one that's still in the fire. Aren't you glad tonight there's still a God that's still in the fire? He ain't come out. He ain't give up. He ain't back down. He's still walking around. He's still doing business and protecting his children. You say, preacher, how in the world are you going to preach that? Well, praise God. I'm glad that he's still walking tonight. I'm glad that he's still free tonight. I'm glad that he's still helping tonight. I'm glad that he's still protecting tonight. I'm glad that he's still guiding tonight. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a God that I love. Brother Ryan, when the waves are dashing high and the winds are blowing, He's still a God that can still the seas. He's still a God that can speak to the winds and tell them to be still. He's still a God that we can sleep in the bottom of the ship and know that every man may be in danger, but He's just on the horizon making everything all right. He's still a God tonight that's saving people from hell. You say, preacher, why in the world have you got to be like that? Might I say to you tonight, it wouldn't hurt some of you to get a glimpse of the Son of God tonight. Amen. Notice, He's still in the fire. Bible teaches us in Psalms chapter number 23 tonight, you can read this verse. It says in verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You know, tonight, for a born-again child of God, that sure is encouraging tonight. You say, preacher, why is that? Well, in Revelation 1 and 18, it says, I am He that was alive, or He that was dead that is now alive. And He says He has the keys to death and hell and the grave. You say, preacher, what do you mean tonight? I believe, Brother Ryan, death and hell are pretty close. You say, how do you get that? Well, I believe when you're put in the ground, as in Acts chapter number 2, when they were speaking of Jesus and they said that they would not leave His soul in hell, I believe tonight that we still look at Sheol as down as the innermost parts of the earth. I believe tonight, without a shadow of a doubt, there's still a living, burning hell beneath us. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt tonight, our Lord and Savior is walking between death and hell. He's still in the fire protecting you and I, that you and I, when we cross over on the other side of Jordan, I'm glad He's still walking in the fire tonight. Yes. Notice this. Not only is He still walking in the fire, but He's still saving in the fire. Amen. You say, preacher, how in the world do you get that? Well, might I say to you tonight, you never had a need of a Savior till you seen the fire. Amen. You never wanted to get born again until you seen the fire. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I can tell you how good God is. I can tell you about His love and kindness. And I'm going to tell you what, we're just about as dried up as that dust out there in the middle of the road. Amen. It don't move us. It don't shake us. It don't jelly us up on the inside. Why? Because we've lost sight of the fire. Amen. You say, preacher, I've got over those things. Can I share something with you tonight? Brother Chuck, I ain't got over where I got saved from. I ain't got over, Brother Junior, where I got saved from. Brother Junior was talking about the devil tonight. I'd come by and tell him every now and then that he wasn't saved. He said, but you know what? He said, I can call on the name of the Lord and He'll run him off. And he said, I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Amen.
You know, if we could just grasp what we're really saved from. You see, tonight, the Bible teaches us in the book of Mark that hell's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but when I had that four-wheeler accident back in the month of May, Brother Robert, and I was in pain, I was grinding my teeth. Unknowingly, I was a biting down and a gritting my teeth because the pain was so heavy. And you can almost just say some people in their sleep, when they bite down on their teeth, they can actually break their teeth because of the pain and the force that the jaws are clamping down with. You know what? In hell tonight, these people that are grinding what teeth they have left because of the pain and the anguish, trying to endure it, trying to stand it tonight, trying to get another breath, trying to get a little bit of relief. And might I say to you tonight, it's a place of weeping, which means people are pouring themselves out, begging God, wishing they could go back, wishing they can change things. And my friend, to tell you tonight, you and I deserve that. You and I deserve it, every bit of it. You and I deserve the deepest part of hell. And you say, oh preacher, I'm a church member, I do this, or I teach Sunday school, or I do that. Let me say something to you tonight. You ought to just do a little bit more for the God that saved you from that place. That don't make you any better. You still deserve the darkest pit of hell as the deepest murderer. You deserve to be right in there with Adolf Hitler and all those others that have committed heinous crimes that never got born again. You deserve the darkest place. But my God saved you from a fire.
Yeah.
You know what He done tonight?
Yeah.
He wraps those sweet arms around you so the flames of hell can't touch you.
Amen.
Not only tonight is He walking in the fire, He's saving in the fire, but let me say this to you tonight. He's still taking fire.
Amen.
You say, preacher, how in the world is that? Now, in the military, Brother Ryan, they usually say we're getting shot at. They say we're under fire. There's bullets trying to cause damage, wounds trying to kill you. And might I say to you tonight, Jude chapter 1 and verse, or chapter number 1 and verse number 18 states this, in the last days there shall be mockers. You know what, tonight? Our churches are filled with a bunch of mockers.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
Preach.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm having fun. You say, preacher, why is that? Because He's still in the fire tonight.
Amen.
He's still under fire, Brother Ryan, and He's still taking fire. You know what? Tonight, there's a bunch of people that never got saved going to church tonight making a mockery out of God.
Amen.
They can sing in a choir. They can testify, but they can't tell about when they got saved. They can thank God for their family, their friends. They can thank God for the church. But there's some, Brother Ryan, I've never heard them say, I thank God I got saved.
Amen.
You know what? Tonight, that's a mockery to God.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what? Tonight, you can thank Him for all the things, but if you can't thank Him for being saved, you're a mockery tonight.
Amen.
And might I say to you tonight, there's some preachers in this world that are making God a mockery tonight.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you get quiet on that. That's all right. Maybe you just need to be under the fire tonight. Warm you back up. You say, preacher, what's happening in the day and age we're living in? Boy, we'll preach against homosexuality. Boy, we'll preach against this shacking up mess. We'll preach against the adultery mess. And boy, we'll ag the preacher on. But when we're alone and when we're facing those by ourselves and the old devil is making accusations and railing down us tonight, half of us won't stand up because we don't want to offend nobody. And we don't want to stand on nothing tonight. Might I say to you, it's hard to praise God and not take a stand. It's hard to lift your voices to heaven and wag on Him when you won't stand up for Him on the outside, when you run like a coward. Can I say to you tonight, we are taking fire and we need to fight back and stand up tonight because He's still in the fire tonight. Notice this. Not only is He walking in the fire, He's saving from the fire, He's taking fire, but He's conquered the fire. You say, preacher, how in the world did He conquer the fire? Go over in the book of Acts. Let me just share something with y'all tonight. How many of you believe in your whole heart that Jesus Christ went to hell? Anybody? You believe that tonight?
Amen.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Now don't just agree with me, but I'm going to teach you something right here. You hang on. Jesus Christ went to hell. You know why He went to hell? To take it for us. Not only did He suffer here, but we know that He led the captivity captive. But the Bible says, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 31, I don't know why God just gave me this, but I want to share it with you. Acts 2 and verse 31, He said, He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that His soul was not left in where? Now, how many of you ever noticed that before? Not a one. Well, we thought that Jesus just went down to Abraham's bosom and went to paradise. And we know that hell or Sheol or Hades was a great gulf here and paradise was here and they could look across and see into paradise. But you know what? Jesus led captivity captive when he resurrected from the dead. But you know why he went to hell? He went to hell and tasted of it for you and I, that he could raise from the dead, that he would conquer that it couldn't hold him there, that it couldn't be left there, that he was greater than it, and that he ascended to the Father. He may have spent 3 days in hell, but he spent an eternity on the right hand of the Father, and he deserves you and mine's praise. He deserves you and mine's worship. He tasted the flame. He walked in the mist. He wept and gnashed his teeth. But he's reigning forever tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Notice, his soul was not left in hell. But notice this. Neither his flesh did see corruption. You know what that means? Praise God, his body didn't even start to stink. It didn't even start to decay. Might I say to you tonight, you run over a groundhog out here, and by in the morning that thing will be twice the size it is. There'll be all types of green flies on that. And Brother Ryan, my Lord and Savior didn't even swell a little bit. That body, even without his soul, was so perfect, Brother Chuck. And so holy that it death, then the ground couldn't even touch it. The death angel couldn't keep it. And Satan couldn't bind him. Amen. You know what tonight that ought to do for some of you dried up Baptists? That ought to make you want to stand up and shout just a little bit. You see tonight he tasted all those things for you and I. But more than that, if you'll go with me to Revelation chapter number 1 real quickly. And verse number 18. He says, I am... Well, let me go back to verse number 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You know what John got a glimpse of? He got a glimpse of the same thing Nebuchadnezzar got a hold of. He got a hold of that skin that was bronze and those eyes of a fire. He got to see Jesus Christ in His holy being and His perfect being. He got to see the one, Brother Odin, as he went down in the pit of hell. It changed him around. He got to see, Brother Ryan, the fire that was in his eyes and the tongue that was a two-edged sword. And you know what he said? He said, I fell at his feet as a dead man. He said, I couldn't speak. I couldn't look up at him. I couldn't even worship him. I just fell there. I didn't know if I ought to cry. I didn't know what I ought to say. He said, but I just laid there. And he says this. He said, and he laid his right hand upon me. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Now, I think sometimes we'll just fall down at his feet and feel that arm come down upon us and touch us on the shoulder and say, son, it's going to be all right. Son, just fear not. You know what he said to John? He said, fear not. He said, don't be afraid. He said, look. He said, listen to me. He said, I am the first and the last. He said, you know what? He said, I was the first one that rose from the dead. He said, you know what? He said, not only that, he said, I'm the last one that'll ever have to taste death. I'm the last one that'll ever have to taste hell, because I've given you the keys for salvation and you don't have to go there. But he says, more than that, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. You know what tonight? He goes on to say, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
Now that scripture, I wasn't just throwing that one out there. But he says, and have the keys of hell and of death. I told you I ain't done on that message on the keys. I got about 2 hours worth of preaching on that. I just skimmed over the other night trying to give a 20-minute message of what God had already given me out of that. But you remember back there in Acts, when it said his soul was not left in hell? I got to thinking about that and those keys. I'll be honest with you, I got up this morning early so I could study, because I knew I wouldn't be able to get home in time and drive the van and get my time in for studying. I got time to put my message together, but I've pondered on that thought all day long. He said, and have the keys of hell and of death. You know what he done? He went to the bottom of hell. He seen the devil there. One of the kids answered the other Friday night and said, God sent the devil to hell. I support that 100%. He was cast out of heaven as a star fallen to the earth. I believe that. It's in the Bible. Took a third of the stars with him. You read over in Revelation, you'll see that great dragon yanking a third of the stars with him, which was a third of the angels. I believe Jesus went down there in hell because the devil had departed out of Judas. Judas hung himself. And the devil departed. And you know what Brother Ronnie said? He said, I've got him now. And better yet than that, I've got him on my home territory. You say, preacher, you're just drawing too much out of the Scriptures. Brother Joe, I'm reading them just like they are. I might be putting a little bit of what I think happened because I got a little bit of a, all right, y'all, I don't need to know that. I got a creative imagination within me and I start thinking about things and I could see it play out. You say, preacher, what happened? I honestly believe, Brother Robert, he closed his eyes on that cross when he said it was finished. He woke up and he looked up and he was in the devil's hell. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, the old devil was standing there saying, you know what, you had followers and they deserted you. You had a God that you thought you was running for. You thought you was the Son of God. You thought you was something. Now you were in this pit with me. They ain't no hope for you. They ain't no future for you. I believe the old devil was a waylaying on him and a beating on him. And something began to happen. And those people could see something different about that one that came in. And those in paradise, I believe, knew there was something going on over there. I believe he went ahead and gave the devil a big old black eye. I believe he broke his nose with his fist. I believe he told him, said, devil, you ain't got nothing on me. You can't hurt my people. I'm leaving this place. I'm taking the keys with me. I believe he just whooped the devil at his house.
Amen.
Yes. That's right.
You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That'll make some of you just go ahead and want to run with me. You say, preacher, what happened? I believe Brother Ryan, he walked out that gate. He put a for sale sign on it and said, place is closed for business. As long as I'm able, I'll draw them if they'll just come to me. I'll call on them if they'll just come down to the old-fashioned altar and get saved. I believe he stepped over there in paradise. That thief was saying, man, I've been looking for you. He said, I had to go whoop the devil, the one that made you so mean. I had to black his eye. I got his keys to his house. I'm the owner of that now, and it's all mine. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to stop here, but I'm going to tell you how you can leave this place with me to a home that's in glory. You say, preacher, what happened then? I believe he went up to the Father. He said, Lord, or Father, they've wounded me, and they beat me, but Father, I brought you something. I brought you the blood that I shed on Calvary, that every man's sin may be washed as white as snow and made me whole and have a step in home in glory and come and worship me. I believe John was saying in there and he said, Lord God Almighty, it's the one, it's the Holy One that I've looked for, and I'm just going to fall down and weep right here at His feet because it's the one that liveth forevermore. You know what happened there? He came back down. Because there's a fellow named Thomas. Come here, Thomas. Come here. I know Thomas and all Thomases are alike. Thomas, would you believe at one time I cut 3 fingers off and shot an arrow through my hand? Do you believe me?
Well, you got all your fingers.
There's a scar. The end of that one come off. There's a scar. That one got split down the middle, and there's a scar, and I've lost all feeling in that hand, in that finger. You know what? Thomas didn't believe me. He had to see it. You say, what was that, preacher? All Thomases are alike. They're just like every one of us. You know what Jesus did? He came back from the Father and He says, I know there's some that says they'll believe me when they see the marks and believe that I cut my arms and believe that they pierced me and believe they stuck a spear in my side. You can sit down, buddy. And believe those things. And He says, you know what, Lord? Being I done whooped the devil and put him in his place and being I done took the keys to his home and brought him up here and laid him on your mantle, I think I'll just go back a little while and show him just what I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
You know what tonight? He conquered the fire. But you know what? He's still walking in the fire tonight.
Amen. That's Amen. Right.
Amen.
He's still saving from the fire tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still under fire. But you know what? He's wanting to just show you what He is.
That's right.
The Son of God, as Nebuchadnezzar singing. All heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jody comes tonight. Say, preacher, it's Wednesday night. You ought not preach like that. Why not? Why not? You see, tonight I give you some things you never seen. You see, He tasted hell for you and I tonight. He knows what it's like. That's why Brother Robert there in Mark, when he writes, it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Dad, that's why he writes, where it's a place where the worm doth not. You know why? Because he knew he was going to go visit a while.
Amen.
He knew those people were still there as we stand to our feet tonight.